Welcome to the Science Podcast. It's February 18th, 2013. I'm Carrie Klein, and this is a special podcast from the AAAS annual meeting in Boston. So tell me, what do you do? What's your research all about? What's so important about it, and how does it matter in my life? Oh, and can you answer all that in less than 3 minutes? The elevator pitch, while simple in theory, is not always so simple in practice. But not everyone you speak to will have the time or the patience to sift through jargon and understand what it is you do. And that can not only make or break a job interview, it could be the difference between getting students excited about science and scaring them away. So to help scientists whip their elevator pitches into shape, a few science communicators from the National Science Foundation and Discover magazine invited students and researchers to compete in a science communicating challenge inspired by a popular reality TV show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to America's Scientist Idol.
Much like American Idol, America's Scientist Idol gave contestants a chance to strut their stuff here with PowerPoint and a 3-minute presentation, and then receive praise or denigration from a panel of media-savvy judges. The host of the show, a media maker as well, told me a little bit more about himself and the competition.
My name is Chris Mooney. I'm a science journalist and a science communication trainer. I co-host the science podcast Point of Inquiry. I write about climate change a lot for Mother Jones Magazine and the Climate Desk. And I work with the National Science Foundation to train scientists to be better communicators.
And that's what America's Scientist Idol is all about. So tell me about America's Scientist Idol, about what it involved and what the sort of objective of it was.
Well, the objective was to showcase and reward good science communicators. And in order to do that, we borrowed loosely from the American Idol format. So they have to talk about their science for 3 minutes. How they do that is really freeform, and we had a wrap today. In order to win, they had to basically impress the judges on three fronts. And the three fronts were giving a very clear presentation, clarity, and I think that the winner really epitomized that. And then, you know, a good quality delivery that involves basically how you talk, your humor. It also involves your slides. And then making an overall impact.
While the premise was lighthearted and playful, the goal was sincere. And the contestants brought the same combination of humor and gravity to their own presentations. Armed with pointers and props, they delved into important topics like atmospheric science, cancer biology, and ecology. And they did their best to hook in their audience with personal vision.
My goal is to get students so excited about the connections of things. I want them to understand bison. I want them to understand butterflies. And I want to see how they all interconnect.
Music.
What's up, AAA? Yes, my name is Dr. G, and I'm dropping confocal microscopy.
And universal attention grabbers.
Success. We all do it. We all like it. And we all need it for the propagation of the species.
The presentations that left the greatest impact had a focused scope, utilized a story arc with a beginning and an end, and reinforced their claims with real-world examples. Jenna Jaden, who explained the importance of insects in the study of reproduction and sexual selection, opined on the smooth dance moves of the velvet mite while showing the audience a picture of Ricky Martin. Joshua Schroeder showed off a gamma ray map of the universe and demonstrated with per capita spending amounts just how much cheaper the project was than many other NASA programs.
America's next scientist idol is Tom DiLiberto.
Wow! Congratulations, Tom! Acceptance speech?
Tom DiLiberto is a meteorologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he took an unusual tactic with his presentation, defending his field from the ridicule of the public. I caught up with him after the competition was over. How are you feeling right now, Tom?
I'm a little bit shocked. I think the entire thing was a bit of a whirlwind. I didn't think I would be chosen in the first place, to let alone now have won.
So I know that you just went through 3 minutes summing up what you do. Could you sum that up in very briefly now for our podcast listeners?
Sure. Weather forecasting is pretty misunderstood in terms of how complex it can be. People see a forecast that fails and don't realize that there's a lot of things already hampering a forecaster in making that forecast to begin with. So I was getting more into the complications of what goes into a weather model, why there are errors in weather models, and some of the difficulties a forecaster has to deal with when he makes a forecast.
So do you think you've learned anything from this whole experience?
Oh, without a doubt. I've never had to make a presentation in 3 minutes on a scientific topic. It's quite difficult to go from talking about things in a half an hour to an hour to breaking it down into 3 minutes and choosing the right slides to talk about.
One of my favorite parts of Tom's presentation was the very beginning, in which he showed a picture of the globe and steadily moved through images and maps at smaller and smaller geographic scales.
Earth, isn't it beautiful? As meteorologists, we attempt to create a fake one of these, as similar as possible to the real one, and then model its changes out into the future. But the public really wants a forecast for an area smaller than this. Nope, smaller. Keep going. Close. The public really wants a forecast for the 2x3 rectangle of a window they are looking out of while they attempt to write something witty on Twitter.
So he set up the problem that the average weather consumer has unrealistic expectations in mind so that it was directly relatable to his audience, and then responded by showing the state-of-the-art in weather forecasting, including a comparison of two radically different models of last year's Hurricane Sandy.
But that's the thing. All models are wrong. Every last one of them. But they've been getting less wrong with time, thanks to increasing computer technology allowing for higher resolution models, to new satellites and radars, to more observations across the globe.
But as the reigning champion of America's Scientist Idol, Tom got to appear as a guest on the Point of Inquiry podcast, being recorded the next day at the AAAS meeting. But that wasn't the biggest part of the prize.
And the winner will also get a free trip to Hollywood, California, courtesy of the National Academy of Science.
Wow.
Yes.
So with its debut at the AAAS meeting, I think America's Scientist Idol was a resounding success. And Chris Mooney agrees.
The goal was to showcase some talent, push people a little bit to their limit and see what comes out, which good things came out. That's what always happens when you basically have a competition and you see what people can do. The room was packed. It was very popular, and so I think that it, in a much broader context, contributes to growing awareness that science communication is important and should be rewarded, and the winner is being rewarded.
So the next time you're asked to communicate your work, remember that with a few tricks, you can probably explain it to most audiences. And keep an eye on the 2014 AAAS meeting program to see if you can try out to be next year's America's Scientist Idol. Thanks for listening to The Science Podcast. I'm Carrie Klein. Check back on iTunes, the RSS feed, or the Science site for more podcasts from the meeting.